Hello, this is Andy Cates from London.
And this is Tian Yong Woon from Singapore.
And thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to this latest edition of our weekly podcast. So this week, we're going to touch again on financial markets and how they've been behaving, with a nod to some of the macroeconomic narratives that explain that behavior, and with a brief discussion as well about the role of liquidity. Chen Yao will touch on key developments coming out of Asia, including China's latest official PMIs and Japan's latest Tenkan survey. And we will then, as usual, summarize some of the key events and data points to look out for over the next few days. Just a brief reminder before we kick off that all of the views that we express on this podcast are our own, and they're not the views of Haber Analytics. So starting with the markets and the macro, we have seen some renewed concerns over the past few days about the US Fed's ability to lower interest rates in the immediate months ahead, stemming in large part, I guess, from some hawkish remarks or remarks that were perceived to be hawkish from Fed Chair Powell toward the end of last week. And that in turn has just triggered some broader anxiety in financial markets over the past few days. As well as that, though, we have seen some data that have arguably tilted the balance of risk to the global economic outlook to the downside again. For example, latest trade data from South Korea offers some tentative evidence to suggest that the recent upswing in global trade may be losing momentum. This week's Euro area / CPI data for March also reveals some stubbornly high levels of service sector inflation, which in turn have cast some doubts on the European Central Bank's willingness to lower interest rates in the immediate future. I think it's nevertheless equally fair to point out, however, that not all the global macro news flow has been negative. On a more positive note, we've seen some evidence to suggest that economic uncertainty has been receding over the past few weeks, which in turn has presumably been a factor that's reinforced the appetite for risk among global investors. And as we've discussed on this podcast before, with respect to the resilience of the US economy, productivity growth has been perking up. Which it as well has coincided with a lot of data showing much more dynamism in that economy. As Chen Yao will also go on to discuss in a few moments, China's economy has additionally unexpectedly accelerated over the past few weeks, possibly because of an increased pace of credit formation. Now, all of those positives notwithstanding, I think the big issue right now for many in the markets, at least when they're sort of trying to marry the macro with the markets, is liquidity. I threw a chart into our accompanying publication showing some hefty inflows or evidence for hefty inflows into US money market funds over the past few weeks, which potentially signals that there's a lot of liquidity sloshing around. If that is of course also being funneled into other markets, it potentially exposes some vulnerabilities, of course, should financial conditions tighten again in the near future, in turn, of course, because central banks are more reluctant to cut interest rates. That equally, of course, suggests that economic fundamentals may not be playing as big a role in driving financial markets to their recent highs as many may be imagining. So I'm going to pause there, in part, of course, because I've already talked for too long, but I'm going to hand it over now to Chen Yao, who will talk to you about some of the data points that have been emerging from the Asian region over the past few days.
Thank you, Andy. Yes, indeed, we saw quite a few interesting releases playing out this week from Asia. Firstly, more positive news came out over the weekend from China, as the latest official PMI readings were reported to have greatly surpassed expectations. Specifically, China's manufacturing PMI is now back in expansionary territory after 6 months of contractionary readings. On the other hand, the non-manufacturing gauge is now signaling an accelerated pace of expansion. So these latest PMIs follow the economy's recent spate of encouraging data releases, as Andy, you have mentioned earlier. So the releases include China's industrial profits, which returned to growth in February, and the better-than-expected industrial production and retail sales readings. So if we continue to see good news of such a nature, the narrative of China's economic stabilization will likely move beyond the early stages to become more firmly established. Touching next on Japan, we saw a mixed bag of results from the latest Tankan survey. On the one hand, business confidence of the large manufacturers worsened for the first time in a year. On the other hand, the optimism of large non-manufacturers improved for the 8th straight quarter to reach multi-decade highs. The dip in business confidence amongst the large manufacturers can be attributed, I think, to the motor vehicle segment, who saw their confidence reading fall by more than half in the quarter. The confidence slump can possibly be explained by the production halts and safety-related concerns relating to certain car makers in the past months. So that's touching on the Tankan survey, and that's all from me, Andy.
Thanks. Let's briefly touch then now on the week ahead. And just bear in mind here that we're recording this on Thursday morning, UK time. In other words, ahead of the non-farm payrolls release from the US tomorrow. The key market focus, though, next week will likely be the US CPI inflation data for March, which is due next Wednesday. Clearly a big focus for the positive surprises that have emerged from that data over the past month or two. Several central banks are also in focus, with the ECB meeting in particular due next week and scheduled for next Thursday. No policy changes are expected, but investors will of course be highly attentive, highly attuned to hints at the timing of upcoming interest rate cuts. Following this week's inflation data, the likelihood of an April cut has, you know, for the record, diminished. But market expectations have been building instead for the ECB to commence a rate cutting cycle from June. Apart from that, the calendar is, I'd suggest, fairly light, though some attention would likely be paid to the UK's February GDP reading, alongside some industrial production releases from the UK as well as elsewhere over the next week. What about in Asia, Chanyeol?
Thank you again, Andy. Just like in Europe, central bank decisions will be front and center in the Asia-Pacific as well. Firstly, in New Zealand, its central bank is facing increased pressures to cut its policy rate, given its weak domestic situation. However, the central bank's governor has recently said that the bank remains laser-focused on tackling inflation, hinting that an unchanged policy rate in April may be the more likely case. Markets are not expecting any rate changes from South Korea next week as well, since sticky inflation continues to impede justifications for imminent rate cuts. For context, headline inflation in South Korea exceeded expectations in March and remained far above the central bank's 2% target. Several analysts do not see policy rate changes coming up from Thailand as well. With that said, calls for the central bank to cut rates, including from the country's own prime minister, continue to mount as the economy grapples with weak domestic consumption and subdued inflation levels. Apart from Thailand, the Philippines also decides on interest rates next week. And with all these decisions, that's all from me from Asia.
Perfect. Let's leave it there for today. Thanks, everyone, as ever, for tuning in. Further analysis, as ever, on these issues can be found in our latest Charts of the Week publication and in our Asian Economic Letter. Have a great week ahead.